If you asked me a simple question, like, what exactly is Springs Church? I couldn't answer you. Trying to define something so unique, so special, is impossible. But perhaps a better place to start is the question, who is Springs Church? Now that I can answer. For the church isn't a house, but a body, a group of believers, a people changed by one choice and united by one cause. The church is the people. But the people of Springs Church are much more than a people consigned to weekly worship and study, more than a people conscripted to sharing the good news with their neighbors and co-workers. No, our church is a people consumed by the eternal mission of populating heaven, a people compelled to reach the lonely and broken, those searching for truth and wholeness with the compassion of Jesus, a people fortified by the Word, fueled by Holy Spirit, and driven to see the miraculous come to fruition in every area of life. The people of Springs Church are the heartbeat of all that's taken place over the last 25 years. They are a people that have moved across a country, relocated family, sacrificed millions of hours, and given until they've gulped. They've laid it all down for a pursuit greater than they'll ever see fulfilled in this lifetime. And knowing it's not the buildings or programs or accomplishments that comprise this church, but the people, means the church will never die. The church will never grow old. No, the church will keep thriving, taking ground, and beaming the message of Jesus to the uttermost parts of the earth. Who is Springs Church? We are, and the gates of hell shall never prevail against it.
The memory is still so fresh in my mind. When Leon and I walked into Springs of Living Water for the first time in 1994, we knew this was where God wanted us to be. At that time, it had never even crossed our minds that this church would grow to have the influence around the world that it does today. But we did know one thing, that if we would stay faithful to God's call, obedient to the Word and dependent on the Holy Spirit, we would see amazing things happen.
And in just a few years, we watched as God took a congregation of a few hundred and multiplied it to the thousands. And talk about more than we could imagine. We didn't even think that we'd have the growing pains we did so soon. I mean, finding and renting a new space for all these people, shuttling them back and forth to their cars, not to mention buying land for a brand new church building. But we stepped out in faith and saw God do the impossible. And our reach began to grow as God quite literally started giving us new branches of our Springs family tree, first in the inner city, then in Steinbach, then my parents' church in Selkirk. Little did we know, even that was only the beginning.
Even though change seems to be our middle name here, one thing that stayed the same in 25 years is our belief that the church should be like family. And coming to the church each week should be like coming home. No judgment, just love, acceptance, and forgiveness. That's been the foundation that has helped us raise a family who all love God and still passionately serve in His church today.
Over the years, God's grace has given us the ability to walk through miracle after miracle. But we know there is so much more to come. We won't stop here. We can't stop. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. So we continue to press on towards the goal, convinced that our latter days will be greater than the former, and that the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter.
My mom and dad have had two of the greatest impacts on Sally and I. We spent 14 years being mentored by them. It was the best attitude check teaching in the Word. My dad's gone to be with Jesus. My mom is here. And I'm telling you, we value her so much. You ever want to talk to pure wisdom? Just have a chat with my mom. He had a saying that he would say all the time, my dad. He would say this from 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 1 Corinthians 7. He would say, don't you know you're not your own, but you've been bought with a price? You are not your own. You've given yourself to him. The price that's been paid for you and I is incredible. The blood of a person was spilt, the Son of God, to purchase eternity and life for you. You're not your own. Stop living for yourself. You'll just find a quick trip to depression. Live for others. That's what we grew up with. You didn't have a hope of just living your life for yourself, because they just continually reminded us of that. In Proverbs 2:8, it says, God protects the path of those who pursue justice. He watches over the lives of those who keep faith with him. Today I want to talk about something that has been belittled, ignored, not understood, but something that has radically changed this church. The very reason why Springs is doing as good as it is, whichever way you want to measure that, it's because of something called a volunteer spirit. When you think about a volunteer, you think, well, you know, that's an unpaid gift. No, it's something too precious to even be able to afford. It's the heart of a volunteer. In my early years as a paramedic, I had to be a part of the Pope's visit when he flew into Bird's Hill, and they packed out the fields. I don't remember the count of how many were there. I believe it was past 100,000 people in one field. So we had helicopters stationed along the edges for paramedic removal of people who passed out, and we'd use golf carts to drive into the crowds to pull out heart attacks, strokes, heat strokes. I remember having to drive to the front in a golf cart and finding this vehicle parked at the very front, and as I walked by to look after someone, in the back was all these, looked like machine guns, like missile launchers, bazookas. They were ready for anything. But I remember standing at the back one day, that day, and right in front of where the helicopters were, and overlooking a sea of faces this big. And I remember just saying, God, I would love to talk to people in numbers like that about you. I'd love to share the glorious message of Jesus. And today, because of thousands of volunteers, we speak to the world in English, every English-speaking country. Spanish, Russian, three Muslim languages, and I don't even remember what the rest of them are. The call of God on our lives is crucial. It's important. Eternity is a place every one of us are going to meet. As I watched the video, Sal and I are just kind of tearing up, because there are faces in there that are now in heaven with Jesus that labored by our sides. And people like Reuben. How many remember Reuben? Great big 6-foot, I don't know what, six? This guy was African Canadian, I mean, tougher than nails, had a bigger heart than you could ever imagine as he labored by our sides. And people are amazing. People are gorgeous. People are wonderful. Don't ever forget that. People are going to hurt you, stab you in the back, talk about you, you know, abandon you. They'll do all sorts of stuff to you. But life's got stuff. How many things haven't you done? This volunteer heart is something that Jesus taught us. And when you go through the Bible, Jesus was a volunteer. God didn't force him to die for us. Jesus said, I have the authority to lay my life down, and I have the authority to not lay it down. Pick it up, and I'm laying it down. God's given you the same authority. You may live the rest of your life for whatever you want. You can live the rest of your life believing what you want, doing what you want. You have been given free will. But the heart of a volunteer is where you're going to have the most amazing life. A quote by Carrie Chapman Catt says, service to a just cause rewards the worker with more real happiness and satisfaction than any other venture of life. Everyone thinks your career is where it's at. Finding your gifting is where it's at. What am I called to? We've got all these books, I've read them all. I don't believe 90% of them anymore. It's always trying to, what are we going to accomplish in our life? Where are we going to go with our lives? And it just gets us focused on the future as though there's some kind of great happening we have to achieve somewhere at the end of our lives. And if we don't achieve some kind of a great happening, then we're not happy. What if life is actually the journey? What if it's not about some great thing you might do and be recognized for, and it's more about the joy of your marriage as you went through year after year, decade after decade? What if it's more about raising your kids and smiling and laughing as you lived their lives again? What if it's the joy of having grandkids and great-grandkids and developing in every individual family this incredible generational stand for Jesus Christ? Because that's what I see in the Word of God. In Luke chapter 6, verse 31, it gives a lot about of what a volunteer looks like and thinks like. Listen to this. Here is a simple rule of thumb for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you. Then grab the initiative and do it for them. If you only love the lovable, do you expect a pat on the back? Run-of-the-mill sinners do that. If you only help those who help you, do you expect a medal? Garden variety sinners do that. If you only give for what you hope to get out of it, do you think that's charity? The stingiest of pawnbrokers does that. I tell you, love your enemies, help and give without expecting a return. You'll never, I promise, regret it. Live out this God-created identity the way our Father lives towards us. Generously and graciously, even when we're at our worst, our Father is kind. You be kind. Eleanor Roosevelt said, when you cease to make a contribution, you begin to die. In the Bible, anytime you hear the word about offerings, free will offerings, that always means in the Hebrew, the word does mean, it means free will. It's something you give of your own accord. Volunteers are amazing and powerful because volunteers give. When you look at the Bible, remember the story of David, and he saw Goliath, but before he saw Goliath, what was he doing? He was bringing lunch to his brothers. Why was he bringing lunch to his brothers? Because to be a part of the Israeli army meant that you volunteered. No one paid you. In fact, they didn't even feed you. Your family would have to look after you on the front lines. Your family was the supply lines for the sons and the fathers that you put on the front lines. And that's where David was going as a teenage shepherd boy. All through the Bible, from the greatest men and women, wherever you can find them, they are volunteers. Why do we look at someone and they say, hey, I'm a volunteer? Why do we think that's such a little thing? Why do we think getting on staff or whatever, or becoming a pastor or getting a title, as if that's the achievement? Are you kidding me? I have told my staff repeatedly, the only reason you're hired is to look after the real heroes, which are the volunteers. You know, in World War I and World War II, did you know that every time there was a mission to save the planet from evil people. And the mission was so dangerous that you probably wouldn't come back. They always ask for volunteers. You know why they ask for volunteers? Because recruits would never see it through. They're always going to kind of hedge and bet, and they'll want to give their lives. But if you had a volunteer that recognized, I could come back dead, I could come back maimed, this is an impossible mission, they ask for volunteers. And there is never, ever in my reading history or recollection been a story of they had something that had to be done and nobody volunteered. There was always someone that stepped up. And today the freedoms we enjoy today are because volunteers voluntarily took missions that they probably died and are buried somewhere in another country's grave. That's the heart of a volunteer. For the last week, I've been trying to write this message. And I find myself crying every time. Because I feel like a turtle on a fence post. You know he didn't get there on his own. The volunteer spirit of the disciples was amazing. The volunteer spirit in churches around the planet is amazing. Mother Teresa says, let us not be satisfied with just giving money. Money's not enough. Money can be got, but they need your hearts to love them. So spread your love everywhere you go. A Greek proverb says, a civilization will flourish when its people plant trees under which they will never sit. I was watching three people on stage earlier with incredible volunteer hearts. And Sherry said that we together built a church like Noah built an ark. The Bible says Noah's ark saved his family, and we've built a church that our kids ran the halls and our grandkids now run the halls. And there's hundreds and now thousands because people stepped up and they're giving, they're volunteering with a volunteer heart. And they made a decision that I'm going to be counted. David was, before he ever became a great leader, he was an outlaw running from King Saul. And people began to add themselves to him because of his heart for God. And one time a group of 30 men came who were stunning fighters and warriors, but criminals. And they came to David in 1 Chronicles 12 and 17, and David looks at him and he says, if you've come to get mess with me, or you've come to betray me or turn me over to my pursuers, God's going to deal with you. And this is the next verse says, then the Spirit of God came upon a man named Amasai, the leader, the chief of these 30. And he said, we belong to you, David. We are with you, son of Jesse. Success, success, peace and prosperity to you. Success, peace to those who help you because your God helps you. So David welcomed, received them. Men, they became leaders and captains, fighters and raiders in his army. You see, leadership's a useless exercise if you by yourself. God has to put in people's hearts the same vision he puts in your heart. And people say, well, Leon, you have a great vision. I have a great vision. I don't have a great vision. It's God's vision. I'm just one of the people he gave the vision to, like you. People were meeting me in the hallway saying, congratulations, Leon, 25 years. I said, no, we are excited about congratulating 25 years. I'm just a turtle on a fence post. Judges 21:25 says, this, that when we don't raise up leaders, that people just do what they want. In Judges 21:25, it says, in those days, Israel did not even have a king. All the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. Even people do whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want, wherever they want, make their own decisions. How do you ever pull them together into incredible teams to do something great for God? And Springs is one, but this is our team. This is a team God's called us to. And we all play a part, a significant part. Peter Abelard says, God considers not the actions that you do, but the spirit behind the action that you do. Sherry Anderson says, volunteers don't get paid, not because they're worthless, but because they're priceless. Florence Luscombe said, there is no end to what you can accomplish if you don't care who gets the credit. I think about the people who encouraged me. You see, I'm not the pastor of the church. That's just kind of my functional title. I'm a part of the church. I'm in this church. You taught my kids, raised my kids, befriended Sally and I. Encouragement is one of those powerful things because you take the word courage, and there's so many times in my life when I didn't have the courage to go forward. You want to know the truth? Lots of times. And people would encourage me. Probably nobody is like my wife. Everyone thinks I married a cute little blonde hidden away somewhere. And they don't realize the powerhouse that inspires me and pushes me, kicks me, hugs me, believes in me, and says, we're not stopping. We got to do more. I'm going, okay. When I look around at some of you sitting here and Craig Anderson and Debbie, phenomenal couple in our church, labored with us this entire time. I remember when Craig, who worked for one of the local television stations, I said, I want to hire you to help us do TV, and his shock was all over his face. What? I said, I want to start TV. We're just going to do something simple. And he left his job, left his career, came to a whole bunch of secondhand TV equipment, figured out how to put it together with duct tape and wire. And today we're around the world, language after language after language. He asked me a while ago, he says, Leon, do you mind if I go back to my career? This is after like giving decades. And I'm going, yes, of course, of course. He goes, I'll still be volunteering here. And I don't know how many of you know, but when you see Craig Anderson on a camera, that man travels the world doing the Olympics, TSN, hockey games, football games, one of the top cameramen in the world. And he helped us put together a TV ministry. I look at pastors who you never see on the pulpit because they never preach. But they're the ones who are in the trenches for Sally and I doing the hospital visitations. The death, the dying, the cancers, the rapes, the heartache, the brokenness. And they do it. People like Ernest, Pastor Ernest Gertson. People like Pastor Jeff, Romas, and there's so many others I can just name. That's why I'm going to get in trouble anyway, so I'll just mention a couple and just keep going, but who behind the scenes are doing the things that would have given me a nervous breakdown if I had to do all the leadership and all the heartache counseling and stuff that they deal with. This is the heart of a volunteer. You see, church isn't a cruise ship, it's a war ship. Church isn't a place where you just come and get fed and leave. It's a place where God has called you to roll up your sleeves. He's called you to labor. The call of God is not something that is, you are called to something uniquely specific. Get your head out of the clouds. You are called to follow Jesus Christ. And when you follow Jesus Christ, whether he takes you to the colonies of lepers like Mother Teresa, or whether he takes you to the top of the music charts, all I know is you better keep your heart right in Jesus first, because if you don't, the hell that can follow quickly when you get your head in the clouds is painful. Just follow Jesus. Just care about people. There's an incredible verse in Isaiah chapter 6 in verses 1 to 8. I'm going to read it to you, but don't get caught up in the wildness of it. This is when Isaiah was called by God. And everybody here has been called by God. None of you escape the call. None of you. You have been called to accept the gift of salvation. You've been called to follow this Jesus who died for you. And you've been called to follow him for the rest of your life. And will he put you in danger's way? Yes, he will. Why? Because life is real and it's gritty and it hurts and it's hard and there's deaths and dying and hurts and heartaches and abandonments, and you just pick it. This world is filled with it, and we just don't want to be a Christian saying, give me a cute little safe life and let me just go to heaven when it's time to go. No, I want the adventure of take me to the very edge of hell if you have to, and let me share the gospel of Jesus. Let me hug that neck no one will touch. Let's believe God for the people who feel the most unlovely, the most judged, and let's tell them you can come here. And listen to the way God called Isaiah in his own words. And I want to show you something. Verse 1 of chapter 6. Holy, holy, holy. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high, exalted, in the train of his robes filled the temple. Angel seraphs hovered above him, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings, they covered their face, because no one can see the face of God yet. With 2, they covered their feet in humility, and with 2, they flew. And they called back and forth, one to the other, in this incredible vision, holy, holy, holy is God of the angel armies. His bright glory fills the whole earth. The foundations trembled at the sound of these angels' voices, and then the whole house filled with smoke. And then I said, Elijah talking, Isaiah talking. He said, then I said, doom, it's doomsday. I'm as good as dead. Every word I've ever spoken is tainted, blasphemous even. And the people I live with, they talk the same way, using words that corrupt and desecrate. And here I've looked God in the face, the King God of the angel armies. Then one of the angel seraphs flew to me. He held a live coal that had been taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with that coal and said, look, this coal has touched your lips. Gone is your guilt, and your sins are wiped out. Then I heard the voice of the Master. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? I want you to notice that Isaiah, one of the greatest men that ever served God, felt like he was dirty, awful, sinner, not worthy of God in any way. That's how all of us feel when God begins to push us to do things for us. None of us feel, yeah, it's about time you found me. We all feel, oh my Lord, I don't think I can do that. That's how everybody feels. If you don't feel that way, you need a little lesson in pride and humility. But God has to touch your lips with a hot coal. He's got to let you know and give you a revelation. You're forgiven. You're a brand new creation. And here's what happens. Because then he hears this voice of the Father. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah says, I spoke up. And I just said, I'll go. Send me. He just finished saying he feels worthy and dirty and awful, and he's done things and said things, and he's nowhere near knows what to do with this, but he says, I'll go. He knows he's inadequate. He knows he's unable. He knows he's not gifted, but he at least showed up and volunteered at a job that nobody would step forward. He was the one that stepped forward and said, all right, as messed up and unhappy and worried and fearful as I am, I'm stepping up knowing I could never do this, but I'll volunteer. Wrote one of the greatest books of prophecy, outlining the prophecies of Jesus. This man began to speak and write down much of what the New Testament took place with this guy called Isaiah. You just have to make a decision. You don't have to wait till you're ready. Are you ever going to be ready? Not a chance. I'm never ready for anything that I feel God calling us towards. I walk towards it with my legs shaken, ask my wife and my kids. I'm sitting on that couch meditating and praying, saying, oh, Jesus. And I'm learning and growing and reading and knowing that with all that I acquire, there's no way I can do this if God's hand doesn't touch this thing and breathe all over it. And I get on the pulpit feeling inadequate. I get behind this sacred desk that is called to teach and equip the people of God. And I get down every time feeling like, did I do any good? Did anybody hear what I'm saying? I wished I could have done it better. It's not quite the way I want it. And I probably never will in this lifetime be able to get up and say, you nailed that one. I've never felt like that. So if you don't, get used to it. Just volunteer. Just get up and be counted. Volunteer in your church here. Volunteer to speak to somebody when you know you don't have a clue what to say. Just volunteer and let God make the difference. He'll put you in places, yep. He'll put you in harm's way, but then he'll help you be more than an overcomer. He'll take you through. Are you going to make mistakes? Done that, got the t-shirt. I should write a book. I should do a whole series one year on all the things I've done wrong and all the things I've messed up. All I do, if you want to know what I do, I just show up. I got to stop. Let me read you. I love reading. I believe reading is one of the most important skills you'll ever develop. Don't say you can't, just do it. You can read great men, great women who have gone before from 2,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago. You can read about people's lives, their mistakes, their victories. You can read about all the, and you just learn. And I want to read from a guy named Dr. Moorhead to finish my message. I don't know where he is today. I've never met this man. Don't know who he is. I just found these words, and they're now mine. Here's what it says. I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast, and I've stepped over the line. The decision's been made. I'm a disciple of his. I won't look back. I won't let up. I won't slow down. I'm not backing away. I'm not going to be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sleepwalking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane, talking, cheap living, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on his presence, walk by patience, lift by prayer, and I labor with his power. My face is set, my gait is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few. My guide reliable. My mission clear. I can't be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I've stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I must go till he comes. Give till I drop. Preach till all know. Work till he stops me. And when he comes for his own, he'll have no problem recognizing me because my banner's clear. Amen. Just stand to your feet with me. I want to take a moment and just rededicate our lives, Sal and I, to what God has got. It scares me to think about it, because everything God wants to do, he has to do through us. I got to tell you one more story before I pray. When Zach was a teenager, he came to me and he said, "Dad, could you and I have matching tattoos?" So I thought about it and I said, "Well, if you find the right saying, I'll tattoo it on my body." Now, I know there's some mum going right now. The Bible says you're not supposed to tattoo or mark your body. I know, but the verse before that says don't cut your beard or your hair. And you're all disobeying on that one. So let's get out of the law. So I told him, I said, you find something we can put on, we'll do it. So his first crack at it was the word fearless. Dad, fearless. I love the word fearless. Let's do it. I said, Zach, I can't put that on my body because I've been afraid every step of the way in the things God's called me to do. I don't mean terrified and fearful and not doing it. I mean this gulp in my throat that goes, Jesus, you better show up. I said, so I don't believe in fearless. I believe in feel the fear and get up and do it anyway. Then he thought, well, how about the word courage? I thought, you know, I don't feel courageous all the time. The fact is that I need to be encouraged. I got to be encouraged by the people around me, the staff, the pastors, the leaders, the KB. I mean, one of the things I love about our kingdom builders, for those of you who are and those who don't, you don't know what I'm talking about, but is when I walk into a kingdom builder banquet and we talk about the things of God. I feel like I walked into the glory cloud with people who are backing me and standing with me and Sally and saying, let's go do something great for God. I could go on and on. But so I said, no, I don't feel courage all the time. I'm a guy that needs encouragement. So it just kind of waned a little bit and I didn't hear much from him. And then a little while later, he comes running into me. Dad, I found it. I said, what? And he blows up this gross picture of a man being pulled out of a helicopter in combat, who, I guess their vehicle was hit a bomb. His arm's gone, his leg's gone. I think both legs were gone, one arm was gone. And as they pulled him out, you could see this tattoo written across his ribs. And so he blew it up with his fingers, and on it it says, for those I love, I'll sacrifice. You know what I found? I found that it's hard to be courageous. It's hard to be fearless. It's hard to keep leading and going further. It's hard to do greater and bigger just to try to manufacture courage or fearlessness. But I found that when I love, I can almost do anything. I don't mean figure it out and do it under my own power. I just mean I'll step into the fray if it's because of somebody I love. And I want you to know that loving your own family is not just the issue. But we have a lost generation who doesn't know Jesus. Angry and all sorts of stuff going on. People who are arguing and fighting with us as the church about everything from laws to gender to socialism to democracy. People are so upset and mad and angry. And you just got to say, you know what? I know what the word says, but I just need to love beautiful, wonderful people, the messed up ones, the hurting ones, the ones who have failed. And when you begin to look at people and just say, God, give me a love, because if you don't give me a love, I don't have the courage. If you don't give me the love, I don't have the ability to keep going and keep dealing with all this stuff. But if you love, I thought, you know, that's like John 3:16 in a modern translation. When it just says, for those I love, I will sacrifice. So, let me show you. No, I'm just joking. I haven't done it. If he pushes me, I guess I gave him my word, we'll do it. But I wonder today if we as a church, I can't speak for you, but I'm going to speak for me. I'm going to just pray a prayer. And just in a few minutes, just ask God to rededicate me, to remind me of why you've called us, why you've placed us here. And I say, God, guide Sal and I and our family. And I pray that you would too in this just quiet time that says, let's have a volunteer spirit. It's priceless. Let's have a volunteer spirit. Even if we're on staff, you have to have a volunteer spirit. That's the spirit that'll take us through and do great things. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today. In fact, let's raise a hand towards heaven if that's what you, that's the way you feel. Let's just lift our hands before Jesus, the Son of God who gave himself for us, who died for us, redeemed us, qualified us. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd touch Sally and I in a very special way. Father, we dedicate ourselves to you. We ask you to guide us and lead us and help us to love, because only you can give the courage and the health and the things that we need to lead. And I pray that this amazing army of volunteers around us, from location after location, from churches to television stations to all of them, I pray that you would raise them up as never before. I pray that you would bring them in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I pray this beautiful colors of skin and the languages that we see in our church that have moved from countries around the world and made Springs their home, I pray that you raise them up. And I pray that, Lord, both those who have labored for decades and those that are here new, that you'd give us a heart for the lost, the hurting, that you'd help us to share the message of Jesus, and you'd help us to encourage one another, that, Father, we really and truly would, Father, look at those and with love, Father, we'd be able to say, for those I love, I will sacrifice. Father, we dedicate Springs Church, Springs Christian Academy, Miracle Channel. We dedicate Spirit Contemporary International and all the cities around the world and everything else that you're going to add. I pray, help us to do great things for you in Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement said, amen. 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 Amen.